I said, I was never married to a black man. I was married to a white man. And me being a female here in this group right now, it's just like, this is how I deal with things. It's just, you have to balance it out. When I say you have to have the upper hand, and then I say you have to balance it out, it depends on the issue. What are we bringing to the table? Are we talking about washing the dishes? What are we talking about? Are we talking about you cheating? You know, there's different issues here. You have to balance it out and know who have the upper hand here. Whoever have the upper hand here, you have to listen.
Yeah, but what do you mean upper hand?
I was going to say the same. Are you saying that the person that's done wrong?
Now, yeah. Let me give you an example. It's like, my husband cheated on me. Then he did not tell me. Then I found out. And now I'm questioning him. I have the upper hand here. He have to listen to me.
Okay.
Okay.
Like, you know, that kind of situation.
Yeah.
Okay. But if we are talking about washing dishes and stuff like that, I don't have no upper hand here.
Yeah.
Because he too can come up and say the reason why he's not washing up the dishes, you know, that kind of situation. There's lots of situations today.
Different severities then, I suppose. Yeah, okay.
It's how you balance things. It's how we balance things along. Like David said, it's how you know each other. When you know each other, you know who have the upper hand and who doesn't have the upper hand.
Yeah, but
and just creation to know how to deal with it.
But don't you think that if a person was to walk away, I'm not saying the person's walking away to not come back, but the person was to walk away to sort of like, I don't know, get his mindset so he doesn't say anything that he would regret. You know, because there can be sometimes where you're kicking off, you're saying something and you don't actually mean what it is that you've said. But you've said it anyway. Now you can't take that back because that, you know, your husband or your wife is not accepting that. You said it, so you must have meant it. So for that person to walk away, whether it to be to the garden, to have a cigarette or drink, or to walk around the block, or to go to another room, I mean, we don't know. It could be for 5 to 3 minutes. We don't know. Do you not think that that person, whether it be male or female, has that right to do that? Just so that,
yeah, of course, they have the right to do that. But again, it depends on the situation. It depends on what we're talking about.
I mean, what I will say is that
it's something like silly, something like little things, like, again, let's go back to washing the dishes, and you think you just have the right to walk off while I'm still talking about it. I mean, that has been petty.
It's not a case of just getting up and just walking out, getting your coat and just, you know, getting in the car or whatever. And, you know, for me, you'd have to kind of communicate and say, look, you know, I'm not in I'm in a heated state. I can't talk now. Anything that I say, you know, right now, you know, might be a complete mess.
Yeah, so I'm going to just be quiet. Yeah, enough. You know, you communicate. That's where the communication kicks in. You communicate. You just don't walk off. The person walking off for a break, taking out whatever. No, you communicate. You just say, you know what? I'm not ready for this now. I need a breather. I need some fresh air. Let's talk about it later. That is appreciated. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Fair point. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, okay.
I still think that, I mean, I do understand where you're coming from in terms of, it depends on the discussion, discussion or argument, however you want to look at it. It depends on what that is for the person to walk away. But I also look at it like it doesn't matter what the conversation is. It's how long it's been going on for, what's actually been said in it. You know, sometimes there's certain things that, I mean, it can be said that a woman knows how to push a man's buttons. So even if it's something basic, as you said, when it comes to washing the dishes, you could then say something that you know is going to tick him off. It's going to tick him off. And you know you're pushing that button. So you know he's gonna stop what he's doing. He's going to walk away. So don't you think that person, whether it be male or female, has that choice to do so, and that you should sort of respect it, knowing that you know what you're doing in terms of you knew you was pushing his or her button. You knew that. So you knew that person was going to walk away. Don't you think that person has the right to do that?
Yeah, of course. That person, everybody has the right to do whatever they want to do. But it doesn't suffer.
Good reason.
You'll still come back to the dishes in the sink. You'll still come back to that angry woman.
I understand that. I guess how the reason why I'm saying this is because sometimes you could just be having a petty conversation, disagreement, argument, however you want to put it. And because something else has been said where you've pushed the button, where it's now gone to a different direction. We're talking about, you know, I want you to wash the dishes because I've cooked the food. And he's saying he doesn't want to do it. And then she's saying, well, come on, blah, 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 blah. But then you say something that takes it to a different direction. Now it's no longer about the dishes. It's about the direction that you've taken it. And it could be about a discussion or an argument that you had previously before that you thought was resolved. So obviously he's walking away or she's walking away thinking, I'm not going to have this discussion with you again. I thought we resolved it. So that's why I'm saying that that person may need to walk away, whether it be he or she. They may need to walk away because as far as they're concerned, they're thinking, we've already had this discussion and we're doing it again.
Do you know what? This is, like I said, utopia is one thing, right? The perfect world and people being perfectly honest and, with in certain situations. I think this particular thing that we're talking about here is where we need to kind of read between the lines, where we need to try and see what the motives are, because there are going to be instances where people, for whatever reason, are going to say things to try and deliberately antagonize the other person. And I think the person on the receiving end of that needs to maybe see it for what it really is and try to get to the root of the issue rather than get defensive and making that situation worse. Do you see what I mean? So, you know, that's where it's a case of knowing yourself and knowing who your partner is, because there are certain instances where, you know, and it goes both ways. It's not just my missus that has done this, I've done this as well. But there have been, you know, maybe some occasions in the past where, you know, she's been ranting and raving at me about whatever. But really, the issue is something completely different. So, you know, it's either I choose to get antagonized by that and just react to that and it becomes a bit of a, you know, a bitch fest, or we talk, I try and calm the situation down and get to the actual root of the issue. So I think it's a case of, you know, being able to kind of see what is really going on, because sometimes it's not necessarily about what they're saying. And that goes both ways. That could be the man or the woman, do you know what I mean? It's not one way traffic.
I agree. Because I mean, sometimes you're in a relationship where people just don't know one another, and they just got married for the sake of getting married, or it could be for different tendencies of why they're getting married. Which, you know, to people, yeah. Certain people, you know, everybody has their own values. You know, some people get married for love, some people get married because, you know, they've got a child, so they might as well, or some people just get married because they've been together for years and they might as well just make that step. And then there's the people that don't want to get married because, as far as they're concerned, it's just a paper, you know.
And, you know, a situation like lockdown or this coronavirus is going to be a wicked way to kind of find out whether the two of you are meant to be together or not. Because I won't mention any names, but there was one of the guys at my wedding. It wasn't until I saw the wedding pictures and saw, like, everyone had smiles on their faces, everyone was enjoying themselves, and there was a couple of pictures where my friend's wife at the time, she was the only person that wasn't smiling. She wasn't happy, and I looked at the pictures, I was like, wow, what's going on there? And it transpires several months later that she said that, you know, she was kind of envious of the love that me and my missus had, and she didn't have that with my friend. And she subsequently cheated on him, and then they ended up splitting up. And it was just a perfect situation of a couple that shouldn't have been together. But yeah, it wasn't until our wedding that their relationship kind of kicked off. He didn't know it then, but things all just went downhill. But yeah, they clearly weren't meant to be together, and that's just how it works for some people.
So just to intercept there, so are you saying that your marriage split them up? Is that what you're saying?
I love this spin tea. No. I think our marriage highlighted to them that maybe they were best suited for each other, is how I put that.
Well, fair enough. Because I mean, for me, I haven't been married, I haven't been engaged or anything like that. But I mean, your wedding was it was special. I mean, it was. There was no doubt. I mean, we all have a jokes and whatnot about it and whatnot, but it was good. It was a very lovely wedding. It was definitely one for me to remember. So yeah, I mean, congratulations on that. Obviously, not for the guy that his marriage was then somewhat ended because of your marriage. But you know, let's move on from that. But the point being is that during the COVID, there are a lot of people that subsequently were married before COVID and didn't quite make it 2 months, 3 months, 6 months. And to be fair to them, as it was a worldwide thing, the only thing that we've had similar to that as a worldwide with people dying was World War One and World War Two. I mean, I don't know what sort of advice I could have told them, because anyone being put in that situation, it was hard for everyone. I mean, even though, David, you're saying to me that you and your wife handled things well, I mean, obviously there must have been times where you had issues, but as a couple,
of course,
as a couple as you were, you was able to handle it better. Plus, let's face it, you got married years before COVID kicked in, whereas some people got married maybe a year, 6 months, 2 months before, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, but that's, I think that's irrelevant. I think it's a case of, again, you knowing yourself and you knowing your partner. So I think it's, you know, it doesn't necessarily matter whether you're married or, you know, or how long you've been together per se, but yeah, it's just about, yeah.
You know what, I'd have to disagree with you when you say it's irrelevant, because I think it is relevant, because before COVID, a normal relationship was just on the basis of, as you say, getting to know each other, then you get married, have kids, or have kids and then get married. And then you go through the normal living together, someone getting on each other's nerves at some point. And then
what your definition of normal is, but go on.
Well, normal is, you know, before COVID. COVID isn't normal. People getting married. Go on.
Well, from what I can gather, I think the reason why relationships broke up, because people had a certain lifestyle, whereas they were free to go out, free to go out to the pub, free
exactly.
to go with their friends. But it's because of lockdown, they were confined in the house. That's when certain issues may have got toxic. And I forget, there's abuse as well, whereas, you know, some men or women, not saying it's just men, will drink too much, want to lash out on their wives. The reports of police called out to home disputes because of people confined in one area. I mean, if you get like a violent partner, God forbid, and he's confined to the house, he's going to lash out.
But let's be honest, are we blaming the set of circumstances, or are we blaming the individuals for allowing their emotions or whatever of the situations to get the better of them?
But it's both.
Because let's face it.
But it's both because the scenario
is, life is about life is about adversity, right? So it's about being able to navigate yourself through difficult situations, obviously COVID being one of them. So mm-hmm. Any adverse situation that you experience, I can lose my head about this because it's normal, but, you know, because of the circumstances. That's not right, that's nonsense.
Yeah, but some people are not rational, though. We're like, you know, how you're talking.
Yeah, but that's exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, they're not rational. Some people just don't think like A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Some people got to get it all scrambled in their head through alcohol.
Yes.
Drugs,
yes.
Maybe
but that's their problem.
Yeah.
And I think it's down to all of us to understand when, like, I base my feelings on balance. If there is an imbalance in any way in regards to how I'm behaving towards certain situation, then I know that I need to check myself. If something's making me feel angry, sad or something, there's an imbalance there. So I need to have a look at that and figure out why, to try and get it rebalanced. Like the answer there isn't to go out and drink 10 pints of Guinness or whatever and start, you know, beating on people. You see what I'm saying? As an individual, it's I think it's my responsibility to keep myself in check in adverse situations. So I know I have to disagree with that point, T. We life is about adversity and how we deal with that, whether it's with yourself or in your partnership, marriage, whatever.
So what's your take on that, Miss Lady? What's your take?
COVID did not take away our lifestyle. What COVID took away was our routine.
We
are so set in our routine.
Yeah.
We forget to adapt to a new lifestyle. That's what COVID took away from us. We are used to, like, the men going to work, we go to work and we come back in the evening, we deal with the kids, feed them, we eat, put them in bed, we watch telly and go to bed. Then your friends and all that. That's what COVID took away from us. Now we have a lockdown and then we don't know how to deal with it because we are not used to it. Instead of us thinking of a way and create a routine of how to dealing with it and giving each other space. We did not take that because we did not have that. We're so focused on how many people are dying, how many people are affected, how many people and what we're doing and what the government is saying. We're so focused on that. We forgot how to learn to adopt to this new way.
Yes.
And that's why COVID affected us.
Yeah, you know, let's face it, things change all the time. You might be in full-time employment for the best part of 10 years and then find yourself redundant. So your routine changes. Your routine then has to change to finding another job to get yourself into another routine. You could be a couple, you have kids and stuff like that. Your routine will change. Routines will always change, but you always adapt and change with it.
Exactly. And that's what COVID took from us, is that routine that we are adopted to. If we have just changed the routine and adopted to a new routine and have a timetable of how to deal with your husband, how to deal with your kids, I'm talking about housewives here, how to deal with the man, how to deal with the kids, and your time to spend time with your husband, and time to spend time with your kids. And we were not doing that. We were all confined in one place because we just think like, oh, we're locked down. Okay, we all have to sit in the lounge.
Yes,
we
sit down
in cartoon. We cannot wait nothing. We're sitting down there. Now it's Saturday. He wants to watch football. We cannot watch cartoon. We cannot do anything. We just sat there. You get bored, then everything just escalates. I think that's what happened to us.
Yeah, routine is a good word, actually.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's the first time I've been told you can't go out your house, you've got to stay in, or you can only go out for like half an hour.
No, it was an hour. He was only allowed to go out an hour per day. Mm. Within that hour, I think there were people who were actually being fined because they were using the hour to sit on a bench, even though it was by themselves. But the government had stipulated that the hour wasn't for that. It was for exercise. But people
I think it was a bit sketchy back then because I left London. I've got a nice house. We've got nice space around here, lots of green land and all that type of stuff. So, you know, I can go out and go for walks and stuff. But, you know, likewise, there are people that live in flats, for example, or whatever, and they don't have necessarily the sorts of green space or whatever that I might have. So it would be more difficult for them. So I think I remember seeing something on the news about, I can't remember which, Brockwell Park, is it? There's a nice... there's a lot of flats or whatever run by Brockwell Park. It's a nice, fairly affluent area. But of course, these guys don't have gardens and all that type of stuff. So they were going into the local park or whatever. And then they were getting turfed by police and stuff. And they're like, well, where else can we go? You know, there isn't anything else for us to do. So that must be tough. That must have been terrible.
Yeah, that's true. Because there was even that, those two women that were, they were runners and they were running, keeping the social distancing, had their little flask in their hand as they were running, and they got fined because they were classed as socializing. Even though they were doing the exercising, they were socializing. You're not allowed to do that. It was just for exercise for 1 hour. So, I mean...
But that's some police being overzealous when you think about it. A lot of...
Well, no, to be fair, they were following the government's rules because they were confused on how to police it. That was the problem. But in the sense of you're being fined, the question is where's that money going?
So that's a whole different topic.
Yeah. The more fines you do, the more money you make. The more the government says something that doesn't make sense and you have to interpret it the way that you believe it to be, the more money you're going to make. Because you can't blame the police. The government told them to do it. The police is just doing what they're told because they're governed by the people.
Yeah, I could see some certain officers taking it to the extreme.
Of course.
Yeah, and some obviously be lenient. It's all depends on the officer at the time, I suppose.
Of course. So then you're being fined 150 quid. That police officer hasn't done anything wrong. He's just doing what he's been told to do. But where's the money going? Who's getting that money?
Well, that's another topic, like I say. But I think, you know, especially the whole pandemic thing, I think there have been lots of stories about, well, it's not even stories, it's facts. Like, there are a lot of misinformation that the government have put out, or they've not been particularly clear with certain guidelines and things. And, you know, people are taking certain things that the government say too literally. And I think going back to that point about adapting and stuff, I think you have to be really sensible and use common sense to kind of navigate yourself through this situation to safeguard your own situation, if that makes sense. Because I remember seeing news articles with people on packed beaches in the height of the whole COVID thing last year. It's like one guy was like with his shirt off and his trunks and stuff, saying, "What COVID? Like, I don't know anyone that's had COVID. I don't see COVID. It doesn't exist." And that's the kind of mentality that you've kind of got to navigate around, because there are plenty of people that think like that or not thinking. It's just a huge thing for people to have to navigate through, man.
David, the easy way to say it is like our brains were forced to rewire to something that is foreign to us. So we were
say that again?
Our brains were forced to rewire to something that is foreign to us. That's what the government did to us. They forced us to rewire our brains to what we are not used to. So it takes a time for not just the brain, but the body to adapt to that. And everybody was struggling. That's what brought up the struggle. Because you just cannot rewire your brain like that. Your body has to adapt with it. Everything, you have to go out, you have to exercise, you have to talk to people, you have to, we were forced to rewire our brains within a short period of time. And the human brain doesn't work like that. That's what created all the confusion and anxiety and everything.
The human brain is quite a significant and magnificent thing. It's the case of whether people choose to use it or not, though, because, like I say, the whole adapting thing, we can adapt to most situations. In fact, we can adapt to anything, but for whatever reason, lack of common sense or one knowing oneself, certain people can't adapt and allow circumstances to get the better of them. But no, I think I disagree with that.
I don't think it's lack of common sense. I think it all comes to us as a shock, and your brain needs time to adapt and to arrange itself. And we all learn in different ways. We are all like, some people learn very quickly, some are slow. So it takes time for you how quickly you adapt to that.
People would differ. But for example, the whole flight and fight situation, if you're faced in, if you're in what your brain might class as immediate threat or serious danger, certain people are going to think very quickly about what they need to do. So it's not like your mind isn't capable of making decisions and adapting to things. I'm not sure where I stand on that point. I think I disagree with it slightly. I just think it's possibly a case of people wanting to stay in their routine and are just using that as some kind of mental block to stop them from progressing on through that situation.
Yeah, it's a good topic actually, in terms of the way it was before and all of a sudden being told what to do. I suppose we all were training on the treadmill and all of a sudden you're told you can't go on the treadmill as normal. You got to step sideways and go here and do this and do that. And it's never been that way. The only time I suppose it ever happened is, like Trevor was saying, maybe World War One and Two, back in the day when the government were telling the population what to do to stay safe. But then this was a different kind of war. It was a war and obviously on your health, pandemic worldwide. So I suppose it was all new. It's the first time it's ever happened. I mean, the kids would be talking about this in their history books. And it's funny, it's kind of like poignant. It happened in 2020. That's a date you're not going to forget around that kind of time.
Technically, it happened in 2019, but we were informed in 2020. That's why they call it COVID-19. I mean, there's all conspiracies. I'm not really going to invest in that, but I agree with you, D. I do agree. I mean, it's affected us it's still affecting us, because let's face it, just want to make this clear to the people out there that COVID hasn't gone. It's still pretty much here. Although this country may be saying that we can socialize and do whatever we need to do, there are other countries that aren't so fortunate. And perhaps come towards the end of this year, where it gets a lot more colder, that we may then go back to how we were. I mean, let's hope that we don't, but there is that.
When you say aren't so fortunate, do you mean that because there are other countries that aren't taking such a lax...
Some countries are doing the curfews.
I feel like they've probably got a better handle on it than us.
Well, this is it.
Because obviously, you've got on one side of it, in the height of COVID, you've got to kind of lock everything down and stuff. But on the other side, you've got to keep the economy going. So obviously, there's those two things contradict each other. So that's going to be a tough situation as it is. But this whole thing about opening up clubs and all that type of stuff, I get the nighttime economy or whatever is loose now. People have lost their jobs. It's tough. But I think maybe they've opened up that whole thing a little bit too early, because as soon as you had the chance to go out clubbing, people went out clubbing and people end up getting COVID and stuff like that. Yeah. And then it just kind of perpetuates the whole thing. But, you know, it's people are just allowing their emotions to kind of get the better of them and maybe not see what is still a clear and present threat.
No, I mean, I agree with you, D, because I see it as, you know... It's funny, I would look back on films that I'm sure you've all heard of, or maybe not, but you've got House Party 1, House Party 2, and it was like, I had to say to myself, wow, that's the last time I can remember actually, you know, that's the last time I can actually remember having fun. You know, looking at this is like a distant memory. I mean, look at that point of where we rang into the new year, and there was there used to be a home. Bunch of people outside there watching the fireworks at the embankment. There was nobody there. I even saw on TV when there was a boxing match. Now, again, you used to the crowd saying, come on, punch him, knock him out. Nobody was there. It was just the two boxers and the referee. You know, it was sad times. You know, the only time that I could relate to anything was to actually watch a movie that was done in the 90s. And that was the only thing that actually put a smile on my face. Playing music didn't really help, because, you know, who am I dancing with? Myself? You know, some people were doing these online raves and whatnot, where you could have, like, I don't know, 50 people on your screen or 20 people or whatever on your screen, and you could see that person dancing, holding a glass of wine or whatnot in their living room. But that was the only way that these people could socialize. The only way.
No, but again, that's people adapting. It works for a lot of
exactly.
people.
Exactly. But the issue is, as you just rightfully said, I agree with you on this, that as soon as you opened up the nightclubs, it just went crazy. It went out of hand. You know, people wanted to get out and they were doing whatever they needed to get out. But again, I agree with you again, Dee, where you're talking about the economy and whatnot. The economy needed to start working again because the government's giving out free money. In essence, they're giving out free money. So that money needs to be put back.
I didn't get any free money.
He was unfortunate. but yeah, that's how it is. But anyway, guys, I'm gonna wrap this up, because as much as I enjoyed this conversation, I could see that it was going into another pathway, of which would be another topic of conversation, which at some point I'm sure I'm gonna ask you all to join me once again. So I just want to thank you all for
thank you
coming on to the show, to the podcast, to express your views and points of views and stuff like that. And Dee, I just want to say that, you know, if I have any relationship issues when I get married, I'll be coming to you and your delightful wife for wisdoms and some form of comfort. But please note that
I'll let you know my rates afterwards. Yeah,
no, not a problem. I just want to say, if it doesn't work out, I will be suing. So just, you know, that lovely house that you have, you know what I'm saying, just get ready to sell it, you know what I'm saying, give me my money.
Limited liability, bro.
Fair enough. So I just want to say to people, thanks again for listening to the podcast. I hope you join me for my next one. Please subscribe to my podcast, which is intellectualdiscussions.com. So please do subscribe and please do listen, and please tell me how your vibes on how you felt about the discussion, and if there's anyone that you wish to return to talk about anything different. Once again, guys, ladies and gentlemen, I thank you very much for attending this podcast. It was a pleasure to have you all on here.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, pleasure to be here. Nice one.
Thank you very much. Nice to meet you all. Thank you. Bye.
You too. Yeah, take care. Bye.